My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is.
Yeah. What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back, Adlandia. We've got a great show. An old friend, Steve Wilson, coming on to talk all things podcasting and audio. And speaking of, the IAB upfronts were last week.
So many new shows announced. Really fascinating stats, though not surprising. The podcast space projected to bring in $1 billion this year in 2021, expected to double in the next 2 years. So while the space is certainly showing no signs of slowing down, I think, Alexa, what we're going to get into a bit with Steve is the innovation side of audio and podcasting, and not just looking at it as a place to integrate, you know, pre-rolls, mid-rolls, post-rolls, but really thinking about form factors, new IP development, et cetera.
I think that audio and podcasting has not reached its full potential, not even close yet. And so when the IAB comes out and says, we're a $1 billion industry now, that's just scratching the surface. And really, it's really focused on advertising dollars, kind of traditional advertising dollars. What you and I have been talking about is, where's the opportunity where we could be expanding what I'll say is the definition of podcasting and audio? The idea that creators could be using the platform live to create and collaborate is so exciting. So actually create the art, create the content live with other participants. There's so many opportunities with that. The other thing that I think is really exciting is this idea of, you know, the traditional episodic series, or even an author like Malcolm Gladwell getting on the mic and writing live. Really taking the spoken word to the next level. When you start thinking of that, and you start thinking of social audio platforms and audio platforms as places to express the spoken word, all of a sudden, the ideas kind of are endless. these ideas of characters being created that maybe only live in audio, and all of a sudden have created this whole new sound experience that you're frankly walking people through and something that they could potentially participate in. I think we just haven't gotten there in terms of figuring out what audio is going to feel like, what this kind of immersive audio experience are going to feel like. And at this point, sky's the limit, to the point where we could be reinventing what meetings feel like. We could be reinventing in terms of how we bring new ideas to the table, not just in a PowerPoint, but spoken word storytelling, bringing in collaborators to bring something to life.
Yeah, there's so many provocative thoughts in that. This has me thinking about The Bomber Mafia, the new audiobook from Malcolm Gladwell and Pushkin. It comes with a downloadable PDF that helps to provide just enough additional context to get up to speed. So I think this mashup of mediums and finding new use cases for the space, as you said, we're just beginning to scratch the surface of new and innovative ways to bring storytelling to life.
I couldn't agree more. And I love the Bomber Mafia example. It got me thinking so much about what is the future of book publishing? What's the future of authorship in a text format that now can be translated into an audio world? And I think we both encourage our listeners to download Bomber Mafia. It is impressive. It is theater. It is theater.
And also a look into the future.
And with that, Steve Wilson.
We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women. And this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on the mic with longtime friend, podcast extraordinaire, Steve Wilson.
Ah, Steve Wilson.
Hey guys, so happy to be with you.
Steve Wilson, the chief strategy officer of Qcode. Steve, we go back. This episode is years in the making. I think we were saying, what, 2015, 2016?
Physically, we met in 2016 at the Soho Apple Store. Malcolm Gladwell was doing his live finale, right?
Yeah.
Of Revisionist History. And we met there.
Right. Yeah.
You were a big fan of the message that we created at GE, and you were this kind of amazing supporter. And we just, like, a friendship started from there.
It's been incredible and certainly a long time in the making. Thanks for having me, guys. I remember the first time, meeting you guys in person was in New York, kind of after an event at the Apple Store in Soho. You know, Apple had done an event for Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History podcast. I had worked when I was at Apple on The Message, which you guys did such a brilliant job of with Panoply. And so I don't know during that campaign if we worked as much directly together or both just kind of via Panoply, but knew of you guys and your amazing work. And I think the rest is history. And I think I should say you guys have a ton to do with what I'm doing now at Qcode. I think The Message and what you guys did there with GE was so innovative. It was one of the shows that really made me pay attention to scripted fiction, along with Limetown and, you know, the work of Paul Bay and Lauren Shippen, Fred Greenhalgh. And there's a number of amazing creators out there who are doing scripted fiction. And, you know, I really felt like, you know, it's a little weird that podcasts have so much fantastic narrative nonfiction. But yet, with fiction being such a huge component of what we all consume in media, it's a bit underrepresented in podcasts. So anyway, all that to say, I really credit you guys a lot with setting me on the journey towards where I ended up at Qcode.
That's amazing. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
So you were at Apple for 15 years. And it's funny, when anyone talks about or talked about Apple podcasts, they would say Steve Wilson. Do you know? I mean, you were like synonymous, right? I don't know if you know this. Maybe you do, but like you were synonymous.
I've heard some things. Yeah. There's a big team over there. A lot of people deserve credit for podcasts at Apple, and I've been in it for a very long time, but I was happy to be a part of that team. Absolutely.
Steve, when you think about the last 15 years, but namely the last 5 to 6, really since Serial broke through, what have been the big signals you've seen that indicate, you know, just the massive amount of growth this particular industry has seen?
Yeah, well, I think it's incredible where we're at today. You know, podcasts have gone through a number of different eras, I think you could say. And you're right, you know, certainly Serial. And I would also credit Gimlet and what they did with Startup being a really special inflection point. Sort of history. Those two podcasts came out the same month alongside of Apple making podcasts pre-installed on every shipping iOS device in October of 2014. So together, you got this breakout global number one hit. You got Startup telling the business story of podcasts.
Yeah.
And, you know, the amazing company that became Gimlet. And Apple's app making it easier than ever for someone to one-tap listen to a show. So I think there was this sort of lightning in a bottle moment that I think there's going to be or should be case studies on on all of that and how it's grown. But since that time, you know, yeah, there's now over 2 million podcasts in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The content's incredible. And I think we've seen this great virtuous circle of, you know, audience, which has led to more revenue in podcasts, which has led to greater publisher investment and creator investment. And it's been this flywheel that's really created the growth that we're seeing today. And, you know, if you go back, it's kind of funny. You'd hear people ask questions like, do you listen to podcasts? You know, which is such a funny question. You'd never say, do you read books? Do you watch movies? But somehow that was a really normal question to ask back in 2015, 2016, 2017. But I think we're now at a place where podcasts are mainstream. There's so much great content to listen to. And yeah, I don't think we've seen sort of a, you know, too many shows, right? We're not sitting back thinking, you know, why bother create a new movie or write a book, right? There's so much room for innovation and new stories to be told in podcasting.
You talked about fictional storytelling, and Q Code is narrative audio production. You guys are focusing a lot on fictional storytelling. And when we started The Message, fictional storytelling was like very rare, very rare. Like really going back to like almost, you know, radio theater of like the 30s. And there wasn't kind of this reboot of that. What are you doing at Q Code that you're putting a lot of effort into fictional storytelling? Like what's the future there?
Yeah, I think, you know, Q Code, we really think of ourselves as a storytelling company first and foremost, and we do specialize in scripted fiction. So, you know, the company was started by Rob Herding, who was a longtime agent, and he really saw an opportunity to tell new kinds of stories. You know, Hollywood can be a bit risk adverse for a variety of reasons. And in audio, you have a really amazing opportunity to combine an incredible story with amazing talent and really be innovative on the technical side. And those are some of the things that Q Code's really focused on. So I think, you know, as we're looking to the future of narrative audio, we're thinking a lot about how we can tell stories in ways that people haven't before, you know, and I love the comparison to, you know, old time radio. I think it's a really apt one. There's been some incredible creators. There's an amazing community around audio drama, like r/audio drama on Reddit has 100,000 people who love and are making this kind of content. And I think Q Code is really excited just to be a part of that community, making things that, you know, will delight people in different kinds of ways.
Side note, our producer, Ryan, is a fictional, well, he does everything, but he created the Angel of Vine.
Oh, amazing.
He's like head now. He wants to get in on this conversation. He's like, yes.
Ryan, just grab a mic.
Yeah, totally.
I don't want to hijack the conversation, but I love hearing all about it.
But I think it's funny because when we met Ryan and he started talking to us about this particular side of podcasting, one of the things that we kind of geeked out on was that it is still really nascent. It is actually hard to create great fictional audio.
Why do you think it is such an untapped genre?
I'd love to hear what Steve thinks first and foremost.
I was waiting for Ryan. Yeah, please go for it. Yeah.
I think that the barriers to entry are low when it comes to fiction, but I think that also creates a certain amount of folks that are just figuring out the kinks and working out their voice as storytellers. And there's a lot that goes into a production, especially when you start involving celebrity talent and the expectations that come with that from a storytelling perspective, where folks don't realize just how much goes into the musicality of having to create for one sense, if you will. Like things stick out like a sore thumb from a storytelling perspective. Yes. When all you have is your ears. And that's the thing that I think people miss is that just the ability to create an immersive story without overdoing it on the audio.
I think that's right. You know, there's some incredible audio fiction out there that, you know, sometimes feels like it could be, you know, simplified. Sometimes people try to do too much in the audio. And, you know, I think that there's an opportunity to really think about, you know, things like sound effects and dialogue. And that's tricky too, like in a new way that don't feel like, you know, it's relying on things like a narrator. So,
totally.
You know, Q Code has some of those shows that, you know, have a narrator voice, or there's a, I guess what I'd call a conceit for why this conversation is being recorded. But there's other ones, and we're moving to shows that have sort of a whole fly on the wall perspective, like Unwanted, which is a 80s action comedy starring Lamorne Morris. You're just sort of a presence in that room listening to the main characters sort of joke around and laugh and experience the world as they go through that series.
Let's click in for a second on less so genre, more so what makes podcasting successful. Steve, you've had an up close and personal look at the full range of work that has been in the market over the last decade. What are the core or staple ingredients that you have seen time and time again resonate with audiences that keep it, you know, top of mind for its listeners and maybe even on the top charts?
Yeah, I think that this is a overused expression, but it's so true. You know, I think podcasts have to offer a real strong benefit to a listener. And those things are the, you know, entertain, inform, and inspire, you know, which feels so often said, but in podcasts is so true, right? You have to think about how, and one of the exciting things in podcasts is that this is a medium that fits into a different modality in people's lives oftentimes, right? So, and I think for marketers and advertisers out there, it's something to consider as well. There's so many things competing for our visual attention, right? You know, TikTok is competing with Snapchat, it's competing with YouTube, it's competing with Netflix, any other video that's out there in the world or any app that's out there in the world. Oftentimes, podcast listening fits into a time when we're on our commute or we're working out or we're being intentional about taking a walk and being screen free. And so I think they really have provided this good good and positive escape for people as they're going about their daily lives. And I think that is an area in which you want to have a really high value experience, if you will, with the content you're consuming. So it's got to be really entertaining or really informative. The content's got to make the most use of that time that you're allotting it, because oftentimes podcasts are a little longer than other mediums, 20 to 40 minutes or beyond. And, you know, really engaging personalities, right? Whether that's a chat show or interview or someone who can really hold an audience, but bring that sense of community into someone's ears. And oftentimes, you know, the word intimacy is used in relation to podcasting because it becomes such a personal experience that you have with the person that you're listening to, oftentimes hours per week.
I think a lot of the return that we see, especially from an advertising perspective, would indicate that, yeah, this is a medium that is uninterrupted or largely uninterrupted in terms of, you know, things like recall. There's other elements like cover art. You know, at one point, I feel like you had a whole side gig on critiquing cover art and people were like tweeting you work in progress designs to get your feedback. What are those additives that really round out or allow a show to break through in such a cluttered environment, and particularly in some of the genres, there's just so much. What are those maybe secret ingredients that you might recommend people really think twice about?
Yeah, well, even though this is an audio medium, visual design, of course, still matters. And I think, you know, is how people are going to find your show and get insight into what it's all about. And so, you know, that starts with the artwork that you put up on the platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else to provide potential listeners with a sense for what your show is going to be about. And I think take people further into the world. So as we think about scripted fiction at Q-Code, we're trying to always strike that balance in our visual design of providing enough information about the world while also leaving a lot of room for the listener's imagination. Because that's a really fun aspect of what we're doing. You know, the listener can think about what that character looks like in their own way. So I think that kind of visual design is really important. And then, of course, all the other elements of your product packaging, which are your metadata, your titles, your descriptions, all of that really matters. And as you think about this as a digital product alongside of anything else out there that is competing for people's attention, I should say, you know, podcast sort of packaging really makes a difference in terms of how a consumer might resonate with your show.
I love that you're calling a podcast a product. I think that's how we've always thought about it. It's really important for brands and marketers to start thinking about podcasting, original content and audio and podcasting as a product. So Malcolm Gladwell just launched his first designed for audio book, Bomber Mafia. And the Wall Street Journal was covering the launch. And something that he said that I think is so right on and is going to lead us to think about podcasting and audio storytelling in a very different way. He said, we think with our eyes and feel with our ears. Audio is actually a visual medium, if done right. And so if you think about it like this, like brands could be using audio to describe something visually or to create an experience.
Is a different word for visual imagination? Because I just had the head exploding emoji as you said that, right? Because like when I think of like visual medium, in the same way we engage with books, you know, Steve said the word escapism. Exactly right. I want to imagine the world that you're bringing me into. And my experience or world is going to be different from yours, Steve, different from yours, Alexa. And isn't that then what makes this such a personal and intimate medium? So Alexa, as you said that, I was like,
well, that's right. And Laura, I mean, like, think about the opportunity in audio to actually be more linear about what I'm trying to show you, what I'm trying to tell you, or the experience I actually want you to have. Let me walk you through what, when you open the Lay's potato chips in the middle of the summer and you're eating a hot dog and what that crunch is like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Right? It describes a character too. Like Sandy opened the bag of Lay's potato chips. Like, I mean,
I think she's auditioning right now, Steve.
I'm totally auditioning. Ryan knows I'm auditioning, by the way. He knows I'm auditioning. No, I'm just kidding. Have we gone there yet in the industry to really think about this is like another step in seeing
immersive storytelling.
Guys, I love this so much. I mean, the head blown emoji is an apt example. And I'm so excited that you guys are seeing this. I think, you know, we're just scratching the surface in terms of what's possible. I love that you talked about retention, Laura, a second ago. I was looking at Q-Code's numbers the other day, and I realized we have a nearly 100% completion rate for our shows. That means that a listener, once they start listening through, they listen all the way to the end. So, you know, in podcasting, there's typically ad spots, pre, mid, and post-roll. Your listeners, of course, will be familiar with this. But I think that that's a real opportunity for brands to get their message involved in different parts of the traditional podcast advertising inventory. Q-Code's done a variety of things so far. We've had some amazing brand partners across our shows, including Sonos and, you know, Dipsy was a sponsor on A Dirty Diana, which is a female erotica show. We've also done some creative things with brands around how their message can integrate into the world of the characters. And I think we're just scratching the surface.
Let's scratch that for a second. If we're really thinking about the tangible value exchange of what audio provides, this intimacy of 40 minutes of immersive storytelling, what is the dream ad model?
Well, look, I think that there's tons of opportunities depending on what brands are interested in. Their traditional ad spots still make a lot of sense in those pre, mid, and post-roll. I'll give you an example with Unwanted, which I mentioned before. It's an 80s action comedy. The premise are these two slackers track down an escaped convict to get $1 million reward. And this person is, you know, they're way out of their league, all right? With this show, we developed a whole series of ads for Mack Weldon that sort of teased and made fun of the characters and how they, you know, they're so incompetent that they probably also wear bad underwear and they should be instead wearing Mack Weldon. It's a great series. You got to give it a listen. But the opportunity to get further involved in our stories is really exciting. And one of the things I would say about scripted fiction is this is a known quantity. So if you're a brand who wants to get your message in podcasts, but you worry about how, you know, you don't want to necessarily go full programmatic advertising, and you also are a little unsure about having your ad read by talent, you know, scripted fiction gives you an opportunity to craft a message around your brand and perhaps even integrate it into the story. You could imagine how our two characters in that story might have been making their plans to hunt down that escaped convict while playing PlayStation or eating Domino's or, you know, what have you. There's so many opportunities, I think, for brands to actually be creative, have fun with the audience, and do things like branded content or product placement, but in a way that don't feel overly, you know, like they're taking away from the story, I think is really a fun thing that we want to see and explore more at Q-Code.
I think that's exciting. I also think that, you know, podcasting, since it started really taking off, let's say 2013, 2014 with advertising, like the pre-roll, mid-rolls that you're talking about, that it has been a huge driver for acquisition, right? So, you know, if you ask any DTC brand, they will say, yeah, we put a ton of money into podcasting. And I think now with audio, we have an opportunity to not only really seamlessly combine story and programming and character and narrative and all of these things, but also really more performance marketing. So is that something you think is a place for real innovation in the kind of marketing space?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of great startup companies out there trying to do more things around measurement, attribution. You know, Chartable is one great outlet who's really taken the lead and to help in that data side of podcast measurement. And I think you're right, though. That said, the direct response advertisers and brands have seen a huge return in podcasts. So
huge.
As more brands that don't quite fit into the direct response model come on board, I think some of that data will certainly help, you know, people understand how their message is performing in podcasts.
But also an opportunity to create audio identity. What have you seen in the podcast space in terms of innovation as it relates to audio identity on behalf of brands?
I got to tell you guys about Hank the Cowdog, which is a kid's show starring Matthew McConaughey. Hank the Cowdog was a beloved kid's book series out of Texas. And for that show, Q Code worked with grocery chain HEB. Are you guys familiar with HEB?
Yes.
So with HEB, Q Code actually created an original jingle and song that played in Hank the Cowdog. The recall and, you know, memory of that jingle was so great. We were getting emails, and even in our ratings and reviews on Apple Podcast, people were crediting HEB with being a co-producer of the actual podcast itself. And teachers and parents were writing to say that their kids kept singing the song over and over again. And Q Code is really investing in sound and audio and music, you know, in our shows themselves, but also with our brand partners. Our head of music, Darren, is an incredible guy. I gotta just pump him up for a second. Darren is a classically trained pianist. He was touring with Paula Abdul when he was discovered by Miles Davis, and toured with him a couple of times, early in his career. Darren, yeah, leads music and sound design at Q Code, and his work has also gone into the messages that we put together for our brand partners.
Do you think brands understand this space yet, Steve?
It's a hard question to answer. You know, it seems to vary a bit by agency you talk to or by brand themselves. And sometimes it's a very personal thing. If that person at the brand is podcast fan and listener, they're pretty familiar. It's increasing over time, but I think, yeah, what we're seeing right now in podcast is how this medium is going mainstream more than ever. You know, Apple had a major announcement around Apple Podcast subscriptions. Spotify is doing incredible work. Facebook has been making announcements.
We're just going to bring that up. That was literally our next question. So let's go there. So Apple makes the announcement. They're going to do subscriptions for any podcaster that wants to come on to Apple Podcasts, and they will split the revenue with them, and they will give them the technology, et cetera, et cetera. Q Code was a partner in this, and I'm sure you've been now really on both sides of this, right? Obviously, before you left Apple, and now on the partner side with Q Code. What are your thoughts on this? This move by Apple, by Spotify, is actually controversial. A lot of folks are actually saying on the creator side, on the media side, on the VC side, that this could hold back the creator economy, and it's actually getting mixed reviews. So in your mind, does this make sense? Is this a good thing for the everyday podcaster? And more than that, is it actually a good thing for the droves of people who are really starting to get into the creator economy vis-a-vis audio and podcasting?
Yeah, well, overall, I think it's exciting to see a big investment from Apple in monetization for podcasts. You know, the company's been involved in the medium since pretty much the very beginning, but hasn't offered direct revenue tools or the ecosystem around things like hosting. And so this is a pretty major update to the industry overall. Certainly, I think, you know, offering a diversity of tools for monetization is really powerful. There's been really a lot of success out there. Growing, I should say, around other forms of monetization beyond advertising, including Patreon and patronage in general, you know, even merch and touring were really growing a lot, especially pre-COVID. But I think, you know, to have a first-party monetization tool from the world's biggest podcast distribution platform is significant, where a creator being able to be paid is as simple as one tap or Face ID away. And the number of credit cards that Apple has in file is incredible. Now, for your average podcaster, I think, you know, you'll probably likely see a variety of different models continue. You know, with Apple Podcast subscription, by the way, the content isn't exclusive, nor do you, have to stop doing everything and put everything behind a paywall. There's a freemium model that you can take part in. That's what Q-Code's going to do.
Can we pause just for a second? Because I want to make sure if our listeners haven't heard about the update. Can you just give us, Steve, the 30-second on what the actual offer is from Apple, just to put it into context?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so Apple announced Apple Podcast Subscriptions, which is the ability for publishers to offer paid subscriptions around their content. And they can do that by offering an individual subscription on a show or a group of shows, which they call a channel. And with that subscription offering, they will split revenue with the creator 70-30, with 70% going to the creator in the first year. And then it goes to 70-30 with Apple keeping 30% the first year. And then after the first year, it would go to 15% in subsequent years. This content isn't exclusive. And so you could offer a subscription on Apple Podcasts, but then also distribute your content elsewhere.
And does Apple have any ownership rights of the content?
No. The best way to think about this is the App Store and how the App Store has a 70-30 split and enables creators and publishers and developers to make their own offer, but have that broad distribution. And so Apple's really following their own playbook of the App Store and making those same feature set available for podcasters. It's exciting to see them offer these tools, frankly, to all podcasters. And I think, you know, I would just give them a lot of credit in terms of how they thought about entering the market with this feature set, which wouldn't be disruptive of the current rich ecosystem that exists around advertising and podcasts today.
Well, and it also seems reflective of what we're seeing in the creator economy at large, right? Everything from Substack to Stir, you know, all of these back end systems that are allowing creators to focus on their craft.
I would say too, this revenue model offers Q-Code the opportunity to expand creatively as well.
Yeah.
So all of our shows are going to remain we're going to offer Q-Code Plus, and all of our shows are going to remain publicly available wherever you listen to podcasts. Under Q-Code Plus, a subscriber will get added value there. So those will include things like behind the scenes conversations with the creators, you know, little documentary series around the making of. We can also do creative things like alternate endings there, which we're really excited to explore and figure out how, you know, those features in fiction might be really positive. And we're also thinking about our brand partners here as well. And so what we're offering under Q-Code Plus is what we're calling an uninterrupted listening experience. So for our brand partners who want to be a part of the whole series, no matter if the listener is on Q-Code Plus or not, we're going to figure out how to have that show be able to be integrated. Maybe it's the pre-roll and the post-roll, that brand partners message in the pre-roll, the post-roll. But really what a lot of fiction listeners really desire is for that story not to be interrupted in the middle. And so we can work with that and figure out great ways to offer benefits to users under Q-Code Plus, but still ensure that our brand partners are integrated in smart ways as well.
What I love about what Apple and Spotify is going to do with this is exactly what Laura said around the creator economy. And, you know, I think that Apple created monetization and revenue opportunities for a technical group many years ago on the app side. And this is indicative of this is the wave of like the creative renaissance, in my opinion. And I don't think that's an overstatement. I think that Apple making a move and saying that creators and everyday people really coming to the table to create whatever it is in audio should have the opportunity to do so. And they don't need to be worried about the technical side of it. And frankly, we're going to give them an opportunity to monetize. And that begs a question in my mind. Can what I'll call amateur, right? Amateur creators, and some of them are not amateur, but let's just say, right? They're not part of a major network. can amateur creators coexist with professional production companies in this space and professional creators?
Well, I think what's exciting about podcasts is that they've actually done that for years. You know, you think about the incredible creators that, you know, oftentimes don't get the same recognition in podcasts as maybe other mediums. You know, these podcasters have a devoted following and have been doing some of this stuff for a long time. So, you know, as one example, I'd cite Dan Carlin and his brilliant Hardcore History. If you know that show, you know that show. He releases usually one or two episodes a year. And as soon as he does, it goes to number one in the charts. And he's been monetizing his show, you know, individual episodes on his website. I don't know, you know, I haven't talked to Dan about what he may be doing in the future around monetization with the features we've been talking about today. But what I get really excited about is he's already been successful in building an audience in podcasting. His show comes out so irregularly that, you know, it feels like he might really benefit from these additional models and the ease with which people can actually pay him for his work through these tools.
Yeah.
And at Qcode, I would say the same is true. You know, we tend to make shows that are 8 to 10 episodes in length. And candidly, that's often to, you know, play out the story, but also the reality that we need enough ad inventory to support the funding and the creation of the show. Now with Apple Podcasts subscriptions and our Qcode Plus offering, we can more easily create content that's shorter form. Maybe it's one episode or three episodes. And really, that's the length that the story should be told in. That content we can monetize through our subscription rather than necessarily thinking about it as something that has to be ad supported.
Are there formats, Steve, that we haven't begun to explore, or things that have been teased out that are interesting? I think, you know, you're talking about two episodes a year, you know, down to like the science of 8 to 10. But are there these ideas that you're seeing people experiment with that might signal podcasting as we know it actually has a whole new range of potential that creators are starting to work within?
I think there's so many different creative possibilities. And as you were just mentioning that, Laura, I remembered a show that came out a few years ago from Parents Magazine. It was all about pregnancy and what to expect in each week of a pregnancy. And so they, I think, produced, you know, around, I think it was like 32 episodes, something like that, because most people don't realize that they're pregnant for a little while. But each episode covered a different week of the pregnancy experience. They published them all at once, and they were available on demand in a really evergreen manner. I think it was a really clever way to think about, you know, podcasts. And there might be a lot of other ideas out there for different brands to present a complete package of content in the same way that you might think about authoring a book or a video series that has a beginning, middle, and end, and you're able to publish that and talk about that.
I love that because it's thinking about the format in and as much as the narrative, and combining those things can yield a 1+1=3, you know, effect. And I think we'd love to tell stories in new ways and using more utility, as you just mentioned. So that's a really interesting example.
Utility is a great way to think about it. I'll give you one other example, and certainly an opportunity out there for travel brands who might be listening. I've had so many trips where I had intended to look up the best restaurants or sites to visit at my destination ahead of my trip. And the reality is I just ran out of time. I went to Scotland a couple of years ago and was felt like I was unprepared. And I remember thinking, I wish there was just a podcast that I could download that would give me my tour guide, my audio you know, visitor's guide, that would tell me about the cool castles and restaurants and episodes on the different cities I was going to visit, and be able to listen to that on my plane ride to Scotland. And so I just think that there's so many different utility kind of shows that could be made, as you mentioned, Laura.
It's a great example. It's going to come roaring back. And it's something that, you know, airlines especially should be thinking about their spaces and places, and audio filling kind of that travel experience is so exciting. Though not just when you get somewhere, but I love the idea, Steve, of like as you go.
Just, yeah, even thinking about a podcasting channel specifically for in-flight entertainment. There's a whole world of imagination there. Steve, can we go into the Steve Wilson like vault for a second? I feel like you are sitting on a decade worth of insight and knowledge. People probably asking, how do I get on the top 10? Or, you know, what does it take to be in the, you know, what's new and next? Over the years, what have been the Steve Wilson FAQs for succeeding in podcasting?
You know, I think first and foremost, in creating a great podcast, you know, you do have to think about your audience. You know, this is going to come across as so basic, but oftentimes when people create stories, they need to think about what's in it for that listener at the end of the journey. You know, what do you want a listener to get out of it? And they need to be sure to present that in their actual messaging or on the show. So many people just say, hey, new episode now available, you know, when they post on social media around their shows, but they don't necessarily tell the full story of what their podcast is about and what you want a user to get out of it. In terms of really reaching an audience and working with platforms, I think, you know, reaching out to platforms, you got to keep in mind is a pitch. And that's also involves, you know, telling your story to the platforms, what you're doing, how you're building an audience, how you're leveraging their platform, and what your vision is overall. Because I think when you pitch your story in that compelling way, the platforms, of course, want to work with the brightest, most innovative creators. And so they're going to be compelled to want to feature your show and help it grow on their platform. That's really the mutual goal of any platform and publisher, is to help that content succeed on their platform. So I think really crafting your message as a pitch and how platforms can get on board to support what you're already doing and how you're already in motion is a really great way to think about positioning yourself specifically for those platforms.
Are there things that you would say like must do's to develop audience in podcasting?
Well, really, really quick to go back to that audience need. I just think really considering what that is and how especially brands can interact with that. There's so many fun opportunities. You know, I don't know if you have anybody who listens to your show from places like Sherman Williams or Bear, but I've really wanted to hear that podcast that talks about color psychology. We all love thinking about colors, and we know that really basic level of color psychology. But even though this is an audio medium, I think you can tell really fun and interesting stories around color. And that might be something that would be perfect for an expert like one of those companies I mentioned to get involved in. So think about what an audience might be interested in and how that might fit into their life. You know, we're in the process of painting our kitchen. And, you know, there's some insights I can glean from articles out there and websites, but I would love to listen to that podcast, but I also have some opportunities to go for a walk here and want to learn a little bit more. So, I think thinking deeply about what an audience might want, or what even on kind of a, you know, a pop psychology kind of level consumers are interested in. You know, I spent a long time before working on the podcast team at Apple in Apple's education division, and help build iTunes U, which was an educational podcasting platform. And people all the time were looking for the science of superheroes and these intersections between learning and life in a really compelling way, that I think that's one opportunity that brands really have, is to help educate people and leverage the audio medium to fit better into their lives while people might be on the go.
Yes, 100%. I agree. I think you basically, content breaks down into two major buckets: education and entertainment. And when you can combine the two, woo, it's exciting. It's a huge opportunity for brands. Real quick, Steve, social audio, what's your take?
Well, I think that there's a lot of different approaches going on right now, which is really great. I've been really enjoying Clubhouse, and it's been exciting to see and chat with you guys there. You know, I think part of what's happening right now reminds me a little bit of the live streaming apps from a few years ago, Periscope and, you know, Meerkat and those sorts of things, but a little bit easier to fit into people's lives. You don't have to get on camera and make sure you look great. It's much more open to everyone participating, and actually empowers what people are saying, their words and their speech, rather than what they look like and where they are and the things in the background there. So I'm really excited about the ability to connect over social audio apps in that way. Then there's a whole other bucket of experimentation happening around, you know, taking longer form audio and making it more digestible in a social context. And in that space, there's a lot of different ways, you know, audio can fit in, whether that's a more native experience, still on demand on the social platforms, But really lending itself to that greater discoverability in ways in which, you know, when we want to learn about a new HBO or Netflix series, there's oftentimes great short video that helps market that program. Those are the kinds of things we're investing in QCode to help people get into our series with the understanding that they're a longer, more scripted, immersive experience that we want them to go and participate in.
What are you listening to right now, Steve?
Oh, man. Variety of things. So I'm listening to All Fantasy Everything, which is a show created by Ian Carmel. He's a writer for James Corden, but it's a few comedians who fantasy draft here. I'm doing air quotes for your listeners. favorite topics, whether that's best food or vacation activities. They sort of go in and around and talk about their favorite picks within those topics. It's a really fun listen. Also really enjoying Life of Leon from Lauren Shippen and her team over there. It's a great scripted fiction show. Would want to shout them out as well.
All right. We'll have to download those and check them out. Steve, before we get into our final game, what is your critique of Atlandia? What can we be doing better? What about our new show art?
He's like, I haven't even seen it, you guys.
No, I have seen it. Let me take a look at it here. Let me pull it up. I mean, look, I love it. I love the styled type treatment that you have here that feels like that greeting card and a place where we all exist here talking about brands and advertising. I don't really have a lot of criticisms here to offer.
I mean, you know, out of 10, what are we getting out of 10?
I would say 9.25. Is that
right? All right. Room for improvement. I like that.
I love your description, and I love your episode titles as well here, guys. You guys are nailing it.
See?
You're very nice.
Steve Wilson, sign of approval. Steve, bye, bye, bye. What would you say goodbye to? What would you purchase? And what would you do yourself?
Okay. So if we're keeping this in the podcast industry, I would say goodbye to calling podcasting the wild, wild west, or discovery is broken. I think that these phrases are often repeated in podcasts, but as the medium continues to grow, we have a lot of great solutions that make podcasts more and more mainstream. So get rid of those phrases. Let's cut them out. They're a trope. No more wild, wild west of podcasting.
We've gone mainstream.
We've gone mainstream.
We've gone mainstream.
What would you buy?
I would buy ad inventory and podcasts.
What would you do yourself?
What would I do myself? I think that there's a huge opportunity in kids' content. You know, if you think about the amount of time that parents and kids spend together in the car, and maybe hopefully soon will again, there are a lot of podcasts that aren't safe to listen to with your kids and family. But there's so many places in which, you know, kids could be enjoying audio more. And particularly as parents think about, you know, the amount of screen time they want their kids to engage with apps and entertainment, it's a constant struggle. There's an opportunity around kids' content that could be educational and informative, but allow kids to color or build blocks. You know, that's something that my kids really love to do, is listening to a podcast and coloring what they're hearing and learning about at the same time. So I'd really invest a lot more in kids' media and audio.
If you can get my kid listening to a podcast, I would be thrilled. My kid,
How old are your kids?
She's 5. And she is like, she like laughs at it. She's like, turn this off. But I agree. I think it's a huge opportunity.
Yeah. There are some great kids shows out there. Wow in the World is a big family favorite with Guy Raz. It's something to definitely check out with the kids.
Steve, if people want to get in touch with you to evaluate their cover art, but more importantly, do business with QCode, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you could look me up on Twitter at Stephen Wilson on Twitter, Stephen with a PH, or go to QCodeMedia.com.
Steve, this has been awesome.
Look, I'm new to actually being able to appear on podcasts, guys, in my new role. So I'm excited to be really this is my first podcast guesting experience.
Yay!
So really? This is awesome.
Let's turn the tables here. How did I do as a guest on your podcast?
You were great. Here's what I would say. You have to come back. We're going to make Steve Wilson a recurring character.
I'd be so honored.
I love that.
I would say I'd be honored to collaborate. You know, your listeners won't have seen this, but Alexa leaned in and winked here. And so
I did.
Ryan and I, you know, thinking about the sort of sound design and audio, you know, that kind of audio drama effect that you could get here, I'd be so happy to be with you guys again.
Steve, thank you so much for being your first podcast. Congrats on your new role, Chief Strategy Officer at Q-Code.
And thank you for always being a vocal supporter of us. It meant a lot and you helped us so much get started. So
yes, thank you.
Big hat tip to you.
Well, thank you guys. Wonderful to be with you and thanks again.
That was a long time coming. It was great to have Steve on the show. Thank you, Steve, for not only being like true kind of early supporters of us and Adlandia, but also just being a great friend where we could call and say, what's happening and what's next and get your thoughts on it. So this conversation and all the things that have been happening in the audio and podcast acquisition space, Spotify just announced that they acquired another huge show, Armchair Expert. By the way, Monica Padman, who's the co-host of Armchair Expert, is coming on the show. Big congrats to her and Dax Shepard on that acquisition. There's so much going on in this space, and it got me thinking, and there's a lot of conversation in Twitterverse around this as well, from Substack to audio, but institutional versus creator, and can they kind of coexist? And when I say institutional, I'm talking about big, mature, established companies like Spotify. Like, can Spotify, you know, acquire these giant shows as well as sponsor or create a community for creators, or are they at odds inherently? And I actually am in the camp and a big believer that they can coexist. And so there is a world where kind of bigger, mature company can actually exist and in fact, maybe even continue to help grow the creator economy and the individual contributor. So I'm a big fan of what's happening in the audio space for this. And I think it's looked at less so right now, but definitely more to come as Apple and Spotify get into the creator space.
I think it's a great setup in thinking about the use case of audio and how the barrier of entry into audio is so low. The cost to do it, the time to do it, the accessibility to do it in comparison to the production of other types of media, to be able to put ideas out in the world and see what sticks.
And I think, so it's a great point, Laura, around testing in audio. I think right now brands can still, and there are very few places brands can do this. In my opinion, brands should not just be doing advertising and pre-roll spots and your standard placement. They should be really going into deeper partnerships and exploring, how does that brand express in different genres? How does that brand express in fictional scripted work? How does that brand kind of add to the layer of this kind of creative space where they really don't have a lot to lose? They have a lot of community potentially to reach and to gain. So I'm bullish on, you know, more experimentation that's outside of standard advertising.
I couldn't agree more, Alex. And I think we are really at an interesting point where we need to push on format, form factor, monetization, use case, all of the things. This medium allows us to have a wide-ranging testing ground to do all of it. And so excited to see what Steve does at Q-Code. So much happening there. And thanks again to Steve for joining us for a really insightful conversation.
Thanks, Steve. Laura, hit it with the list of all of our friends and family at iHeart who have been so good to us and helped us get back on air.
Big thank you to Bob, Connell, Carter, Andy, Eric, Gail, Val, Michael, Jen. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.